Funding for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston and your NPR station. From MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software for technical computing and model-based design. MathWorks, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com. And the Museum of Science in Boston, providing pre-K through grade 12 engineering curricula from We Engineer to Engineering the Future, with teacher guides, storybooks, kits, and videos, all designed to fuel dynamic STEM education. More at mos.org.
This is Here and Now. Let's take a break from the news for a moment. The author of the popular Hunger Games series has just published a new book. Suzanne Collins' latest is called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Petra Mayer of NPR Books is here to talk with me about it, and she also has some other picks. Hi, Petra.
Hi there.
So this new Hunger Games book is not a sequel. It takes place before the Hunger Games books, right?
Yeah, exactly. So if you remember President Snow, the villainous President Snow, who was sort of up until the very last minute, he was the big bad of the original series. And so this is his backstory, starting when he is sort of an impoverished student in the capital city of Panem, this post-apocalyptic country that Collins invented. And he's trying to sort of preserve the illusion that his family is still wealthy. And he's assigned to mentor a competitor in the Hunger Games. And it's kind of interesting watching Snow evolve and the challenge that he has in the book, which is sort of when we meet him, the Hunger Games are this cheap spectacle, low budget, nobody cares about it anymore. The capital is still kind of crumbling and affected by the war. And he has to kind of figure out how to get people interested in it and how to drum up buzz for the Hunger Games, which is sort of queasy and fascinating.
Well, and I remember when the Hunger Games came out and I was on a beach on vacation, just reading book after book. I was just hooked on it. Is this as much of a page turner?
No. okay. But if you, I kind of think about it like classic Doctor Who, right? Like if you really love the show and you just want to spend time in that world, then go for it. You will enjoy it.
Okay. Well, you also brought us some other picks, not necessarily new, but things that we ought to take a look at in this time of staying at home. And you bring up Lois Lowry's The Giver Quartet. This book series has sold millions of copies, and the first book won a Newbery Medal.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when you're talking about teen dystopia, you can't not talk about The Giver. It's kind of the grandmommy of all of them. It's, you know, about a young man growing up in this very regimented society that he thinks is a utopia. He thinks it's great. And then he gradually finds out that it's not and that it is incumbent upon him to do something about it. So, you know, if that sounds familiar, then you will recognize the influence of this book on so many others. But it's different in that it doesn't have kind of the bloody, exciting action sequences that you get in The Hunger Games or like Divergent or other books of that ilk. It's more driven by emotion, by sort of the love of parents for their children, by longing. And it's just richly written and wonderful. And if you are in the mood for quality young adult dystopia, I highly recommend it.
You also wanted to talk about another science fiction series, The Murderbot Diaries by Martha Wells. This is about a murderous robot.
I love The Murderbot Diaries. So Murderbot is a cyborg. It lives in this kind of future galactic society, and it's not an independent entity. It's owned by a corporation that rents it out as kind of a high-tech bodyguard. But the thing about Murderbot is that it's an AI, and it has hacked its own systems to become more self-aware and secretly independent of corporate control. And all it really wants out of life is to be left alone so that it can watch downloads of its favorite shows. Murderbot, by the way, is what it calls itself. And it is the most delightfully cranky cyborg you have ever met. And of course, there wouldn't be a story if humans left it alone, right? So it's constantly getting in scrapes, and it learns along the way to sort of trust and to interact with humans, and it learns to acknowledge its own humanity and even, you know, the horror to occasionally have emotions. And there are four novellas in this series, so they're pretty easy reads if you just want to try them out. And then the full-length book called Network Effect just came out, and it is every bit as good as the novellas.
Okay, well, listeners to our show may remember an interview we had just in the last couple of weeks with Lisa Napoli, whose new book called Up All Night is about the history of CNN. You recommend From Scratch by Alan Salkin, which is a history of the Food Network.
Yeah, absolutely. I read this statistic somewhere that in April, Food Network was the number one cable network overall on weekends and like the number two non-news network during the week. And it is definitely the number one network in my house. Like with everything that's going on, sometimes all I want to do is watch Guy's Grocery Games. So, right. And I had remembered this book. It came out in 2013. So it's not, exactly up to date, but it is a really informative and entertaining and exhaustive history of the Food Network. Because, you know, if you remember kind of before Food Network in the 90s, Food TV was like Julia Child, right? Or Yang Can Cook, or it was mostly like PBS, and it was mostly people standing behind countertops and stirring stuff. And so this book shows you how Food Network grew and kind of transformed all of Food TV. And it, you know, it started as part of a regional cable network in New England, and it just became this juggernaut. And Alan Sulkin talked to several hundred people, I think, including a lot of the big names. And so there's a lot of juicy gossip in it, too.
All right. Well, those all sound like good picks. But I will say, Petra, that some people may have a difficult time reading in this moment. It's kind of stressful and it might be hard to focus.
Yeah. By some people, you mean me. There were a couple of months where I could not read at all. And, you know, we talked about Food Network. I watched a lot of the Food Network. So I want people to know, don't beat yourself up if your brain isn't working this way right now. Read whatever works for you. For a while, I could only read things I'd owned for 25 years. And if you can't read, don't feel bad about that. Books will be there when you're ready for them.
That is Petra Mayer of NPR Books. We've got some more of Petra's picks. If you are in the mood for reading, at hereandnow.org. Petra, thanks.
You're very welcome.